Good morning, everyone. You're on the Mike and Abe show, and I'm Abe, and Mike is on
and
the
I'm
line.
Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike is
you're
on
there.
the line.
I can't see Mike.
Yes, I'm here.
I can't see Mike because we don't use Skype or anything like that. We just use the
thank God.
The regular telephone system via computer.
Right.
Okay.
Good old-fashioned telephone. God bless the old-fashioned telephone.
Mike,
yes.
Here's a headline. Here's a headline that'll crack everybody up. Head of Staten Island Zoo appointed to the Taxi and Limousine Commission.
Well, that's good because, I mean, instead of getting someone who has like 30 or 40 years of actual cab driving experience and has been driven a cab or ran cabs or had a taxi garage, I think the best thing to do is forget about all that stuff. So go straight to the guy who's been running a zoo. I mean, it's probably a joke in there somewhere with New York City, but
well, it says here.
Unbelievable.
It says here in the article, former North Shore councilman and current Staten Island Zoo executive director Ken Mitchell was appointed the borough representative of the City Taxi and Limousine Commission on Thursday. So evidently, okay. there's an opening somewhere, and they needed a new commissioner. Okay, to join the rest of the crew there. Okay,
and his taxi driving experience has been what?
Nothing. Well, he probably been riding a few apes and tigers around, and you know, taking them from cage to cage, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess there's got to be an Uber driver joke in there somewhere too. I mean, I'm not going to go there.
You know, in TLC, you know, it regulates all segments of the industry, as Mirajashi said in last week's Taxi Dave show. Okay, and one of the segments is the FHVs or the Ubers. Okay,
right.
You know, did you listen to the Taxi Dave show from last week?
I did.
Uh huh. So, what do you think about the chairman said, chairwoman said? About the accessible taxis.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, first of all, she comes in with talking about accessible taxis. There is no place in Manhattan, or for that fact, the outer boroughs, but especially in Manhattan, to pick up and drop off these accessible passenger people. I mean, there's no, like, zone that says wheelchair accessible vehicle parking and pickup zone at all throughout Manhattan. There doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
So I've asked people, I said, where do the cabbies pick you up and drop you up? So they go, oh, usually in a crosswalk or by a fire hydrant or in a bus stop. It's like, oh, yeah.
So that wasn't addressed at all on the show, that situation.
Zero. It's never addressed. It's like, first of all, here's what they they have this thing that makes me disgusted with the whole situation where they say, taxis for all, as if we're the monsters who aren't providing taxi service, when in fact we do it all the time, and as best as we can, and they start whining about taxis for all, because invariably they get up there, and I think it's some guy selling wheelchair cabs, to tell you the truth, who has a lot to do with helping to organize the taxis for all people. But what about FHV vehicles? What about Uber for all? What about Uber for all? I don't see one Uber for all sign from these same people. Why? Why? Because Uber doesn't have any wheelchair accessible vehicles, and I'm just wondering how they dodged that bullet.
Well, they did a pretty good job of it, no matter how they did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Time goes on and on and on, and nothing is done about that. Okay. And,
right. And I think that's the plan. Yeah.
You know, and drivers are running to Uber so they don't have to drive the wheelchair cars of the yellows, okay, or the greens,
right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something that needs to be addressed, okay? And, you know, where do you, you know, they're aware of it. I mean, it's not like they're not aware of it, you know?
Right.
It's just that Uber, they slip and slide. You know, through
they're rascals.
Yeah, well, you know, they're worms. Okay,
yeah.
You know, worms slip and slide. Have you ever tried to hold a worm in your hand?
Not lately, no.
Well, you know,
only when I go to the bathroom. Yeah.
No, I mean, most kids, you know, growing up, when we were growing up, we used to go dig up worms, you know, in the vacant lots in Brooklyn. Okay.
Did you eat them? Did you ever eat them?
I understand that they're very tasty. Okay, but I've never eaten a worm that I'm aware of.
You've never eaten a worm, okay. Good.
That I'm aware of.
I think I'll happily survive.
Okay, so anyway,
the fact of the matter is,
anyway, the zoo guy, right? His name is Mitchell. What's his first name?
Mitchell.
Ken Mitchell. Sure. Ken Mitchell. Okay.
Right.
Reminds me of Kevin Mitchell, who used to play for the Mets. Okay.
Had 47 home runs with the Giants.
Right.
Maybe he could go for work for a field.
You know, hopefully he'll be a good addition. Okay, and he'll do the right thing. Okay. So you know, don't knock it. All right, he may actually be good. Minority Leader Stephen Mateo, a Republican from Mid-Island, said Mitchell is uniquely suited for the position. Councilwoman Debbie Rose, North Shore, cited his decades of experience in the public and nonprofit sectors, and Councilman Joseph Borelli, a Republican, South Shore, added that Mitchell knows about the issues and what matters to Staten Islanders.
Or as they say in layman's terms, blah, 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 blah.
Well, you know, we welcome Mr. Mitchell to the Taxi Commission, and hopefully he won't do anything to further hurt the yellow taxis or the green taxis.
Well,
this
is the problem. I mean, all of a sudden, where's the approval process like they have when you get the Supreme Court for the United States? Where's the approval process?
The approval process is that Mayor Bill de Blasio is the one that appoints these people. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's the approval. Okay.
Let me see.
Mitchell, who lives in Randall Manor, thanked the council members, and so I guess the city council approves him also. Thanked the council members and Mayor Bill de Blasio for the appointment. Okay. The first meeting he attends will be November 10th, and on November 10th, that's when they're debating the new. They're not debating. They're going to enact all the new rules for the citywide accessible program.
Right.
Okay, so
that's
coming up soon. Okay, so let's see where that goes. That's only 12 days from now. Okay, and right after the election. Okay.
What's 12 days from now?
The TLC meeting where they're going to approve the citywide accessible rules.
Okay. Well, everybody, I mean, one thing about our guys and gals, so to speak, if they do anything against Uber, Uber drags them into court and they get whatever they want.
No, Uber doesn't drag them into court. Uber doesn't drag them into court. They just go up there, whining and yelling.
Right. They whine and yell, and then they get whatever they want, apparently.
Right.
What is this court case you sent me? City New York Department of Law.
This is the latest in the Melrose case, the latest exchange of words between the plaintiffs, defendants, and the judge.
Okay, translation, please.
Well, let's read it. Okay, you want to read it? The first page is what is. This is in response to decisions made in other cities on Uber and their right to exist. Okay. or whether or not they should level the playing field in that Uber is basically the same as doing the same thing as a yellow taxi. So what we're arguing is that they should abide by the same rules.
Right.
Okay. And in other cities, I believe Milwaukee and Chicago, the federal courts have ruled that there are differences between the two businesses. Okay,
right.
And so the law department of the city of New York, in their letter, is saying that this has been decided. Okay, by the Seventh Circuit Court in Northern District of Illinois and also in the city of Milwaukee. Okay, and therefore the case should be dismissed. Okay, the second and third page of this is our lawyer, the Melrose's lawyer, okay, the medallion owner driver's lawyer, Okay, because they're also involved in the case. Todd Higgins, who's been on the Taxi Dave show, hasn't been there since August, though. We're waiting for him to make an appearance, hopefully tonight.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I always look forward to hearing Todd Higgins on the Taxi Dave show, because this is one man that is absolutely fighting for us. Okay?
This is one Higgins. This is one Higgins that's awake at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, and in court. So he's a very hardworking person, okay? And
he's a hardworking Higgins.
and he has a very interesting response, okay?
Yeah, you know, here's what you do. Go to the Higgins letter about the Melrose case and read our side, because the Taxi Commission, I could give two spits about what they say at this stage of the game, because I think they disgust me.
Well, they're trying to use the word worm again, worm their way out of this. Okay.
Oh, of course.
All right.
I'll read the. You want me to read the our side of the story via Higgins?
Go ahead.
All right. So it's from the desk of Crosby and Higgins LLP, addressed to the Honorable Annalisa Torres, United States Courthouse, 500 Pearl Street, New York, New York 1007-1312, dated. When is this dated? I think
it's very
October
recent.
October 27th.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. R. E. Melrose Credit Union et al. Against City of New York et al. Civil action number 15-CV-9042. Then this is from Todd Higgins and his law firm fighting for us.
Right.
Okay. Dear Judge Torres, this law firm represents Melrose Credit Union, Progressive Credit Union, Lonto Federal Credit Union, Taxi Medallion Owner Drivers Association, League of Municipal Taxi Owners, Inc., KL Motors, Safini Transport, Inc., White and Blue Group Corp., FIMA Service Corp., Carl Ginsburg, and Joseph Itzchaki, collectively the plaintiffs, in connection with the above reference action. I am writing an order to briefly respond to the letter filed by defendants, meaning the city, I guess, on October 24, 2016, concerning the Seventh Circuit's recent decision in Joe San Filippo Cabs, Inc. versus City of Milwaukee, number 16-1008, blah, 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 affirming the dismissal of regulatory takings claims alleged in both actions and reversing Judge Sharon Johnson's Coleman's refusal to dismiss an equal protection claim in Illinois transfer. So it jumps back to the fact of we're being held against out-of-state stuff versus what's going on in New York City.
Well,
and we have,
let me just jump in here. It's out-of-state, but it's also a federal court. So the federal court supposedly covers the entire country. So if one federal court makes a decision, it should apply to other federal courts throughout the country. But and you can continue to read, but what this letter shows is there are differences between that decision and any decision that will be made in New York. Continue.
Okay. As briefly set forth below, plaintiffs respectfully submit that the Seventh Circuit's cavalier treatment of the transportation industry in Chicago and Milwaukee is of no consequence to the legal issues pending before this court concerning the for-hire transportation industry in the city of New York. I like that. As an initial matter, neither the Seventh Circuit's decision in the Joe San Filippo cabs out there, in my words, nor its decision in Illinois transport impacts the analysis before this court on plaintiff's takings claims, because the central question considered in both of those cases was whether licensed taxi cabs in Milwaukee and Chicago have a right to exclude others from the market in addition to the right to operate taxi cabs. Here, however, there is no dispute that the existence of a right to exclude, because New York City taxi cab medallion owners enjoy not only protected property interest in the right to operate taxis, but critically, they also possess an express statutory right to hail exclusivity, which you and I, Abe, have been saying for a zillion years.
Those are the magic words. Hail exclusivity. Go ahead.
Right. Pursuant to New York State law. In other words, taxicab medallion owners indisputably have a statutory right to exclude others from the market for hails, a paid-for property interest expressly vested by the legislator in existing and future taxicabs. All right? So that's great. All right. So, and it goes on to say this, that, and the other. It's a whole legal beagle thing. But the fact of the matter is, there it is. I mean, we're just fighting to say something to tell the city to enact and enforce what they told us to do. I mean, if they told Mike and Abe, okay, you can own a cab, but at 3 o'clock every day you have to stand with your leg in the air and hop around like a bunny. Mike and Abe would probably say, listen, that's crazy. We don't want to do that. We're not buying a medallion if that's the law that we have to do. All right? Then at that moment, we would have a choice whether or not we would want to buy a medallion where we have to hop around on one leg at Times Square. And we would probably say no. But the fact of the matter is, the taxi commission told us what the rules are early on.
Right.
And said these are going to be exclusive rights for street hail. Now, having read that with this legal stuff from the Higgins law firm, Crosby and Higgins, I believe it is, the fact of the matter is, I keep hearing this propagandizing from the taxi commissioner, chairperson Joshi, where she talks about we encourage competition, we encourage. So she's trying to propagandize we encourage competition when in fact the law as written and the law as auctioned for yellow cab buyers said specifically there would be an elimination of competition. We would have no competition for street hail or anything close to resembling street hail. And for that elimination of competition for street hail, the yellow cab medallion would then be auctioned off at a higher price because it would be a capped market. And that's what the city of New York told us. That's what the Taxi Limousine Commission told us when we bought medallions. All right? Now, you can't all of a sudden have guys buying medallions at auction under the law written by the city of New York, and all of a sudden somebody pops in for a couple years to be chairperson and says we encourage competition. It's like, well, if you encourage competition, you should have told that to the other drivers before they bought medallions, and they could have asked, well, what kind of competition? Does that mean everybody who buys a car can get a street hail? Which, in my opinion, is happening now with the Uber fiasco. And this whole mumbo-jumbo about encouraging competition, you should be discouraging the attempt for competition from street hail people because they haven't bought a medallion. That's my little...
Let me jump in here, Mike. Okay, last week on the Taxi Dave show, somebody called up after she was done talking about the wheelchair accessible taxis and other things, other positive things, okay? And he said to her, how much, you know, you publish the figures every month or every other month of how good we're doing and how bad we're doing and how the numbers of people hailing yellow cabs have decreased. And he asked her, he said, how low does it have to go before the taxi commission says enough? Okay. Which was a great question. All right. Like he's saying, like he's basically what he's asking her is, why aren't our rights being defended? And her response, her response was that, they just regulate the seven sectors of transportation industry. Okay. And if the people choose to use one sector over another, that's just the way it is. Okay.
Right.
Okay. However, what she really didn't say is, and what she should have said was that what she's trying to say is that even though Uber and all the TNCs, Lyft, whatever, okay, are FHV vehicles, okay, that.
Right.
That the TLC's argument, and she didn't say this in words, that since the TLC's argument, which supposedly we assume is correct, which we are arguing is not correct, okay, since the TLC's argument is that the FHVs and the apps actually create a form of prearrangement, because
the TLC's argument is not correct.
I agree that the TLC's argument is not correct, but she's talking on the assumption that it is correct. Okay, so
yeah,
therefore it's not the TLC's right to interfere in the fact that the public at large is choosing to use the app for Uber over raising their hand in the air. Okay, in other words, once you hit that button on your smartphone for Uber, you have created what they call a prearranged ride. Okay?
Which is not.
Right, and that's where the whole argument is. What is prearranged and what is not prearranged? Something that has never been really addressed. Okay? Now, anybody with brains, okay, knows prearranged means pick me up later. Not I'm going to tap my app now and you're going to ride down the block and pick me up. Okay.
Like 5-10 minutes.
Well, even if you're sitting in a bar, right? Or sitting in, you know, sitting in a movie house or whatever, okay? And you tap the app and you arrange, pick me up in 15 minutes when the movie's over. Pick me up in 15 minutes when I sober up a little, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think anybody would argue that that's prearranged.
Right.
Okay? But right, when you're standing out on the street with packages in your arms and you walk out of Macy's department store and you hit your Uber app, right?
Right.
And a car comes running up 6th Avenue, makes a left on 35th Street, and just swings in around. I guess you can't, you know, they closed that off years ago. But you know what I mean. Just swings in front of Macy's and picks you up. That, my friend, is a street hail.
Well, I think what's fair, what would be a fair thing to do is that from now on, every Uber call should have, they should charge Uber $2 per call that will be awarded to a taxi driver fund, and then, you know, given to every driver, $2 per Uber call for yellow cab drivers. I think that would be fair.
Well, they're doing they're doing that in Boston.
Oh, they are. Talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm listening, brother.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing in Boston. They're charging Uber a certain amount of money, which Uber, of course, is objecting to. For every fare to be given to the taxi drivers. And believe it or not, the taxi drivers say, we don't want that. We just want them to stop. Okay?
Right, just want them to go away.
Okay,
right.
And let me read you something interesting. Let me bring it up here. This is an ad on a website called nyctaxicab.com where people post ads for medallions for sale. Okay.
Yeah.
And here's an ad. It says two medallions. This is obviously a mini fleet corporation. Price $1,750,000, which I believe computes to $875,000 a piece. Okay. And here's the description. Listen to what is written. And I saw this earlier in the week, and I'm wondering, what does this person know? It says, get them now, before Uber is limited to picking up only scheduled rides, and more, get them before self-driving cabs pick up in New York City are limited to only yellow taxis.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Uh-huh. There's a phone number here. I won't give it out, but you can see this ad and find out, what does this person know? You know?
Yeah, they don't know anything. Let me say something. Yeah, right. Now we're getting into like self-driving nonsense.
Yeah, no, we're not getting into self-driving nonsense. What he's saying is, get them before Uber is limited to pick up only scheduled rides. Is it leading to that? It should be leading to that. Okay.
All right.
Well.
All right. Yeah. Well, they're gonna. I think, in my opinion, they're gonna screw their drivers. So I think if you're driving for Uber, you should take, in my opinion, full comfort in the fact that you're going to get screwed, in my opinion, because they had this weird Uber demonstration early on where the poor Uber drivers were working and they were making money in the beginning because there were very few Uber cars, and all the cabbies were like flooding over there because it's like, oh, my friend, I'm making double what I'm making it. You know, I'm working for Uber. Everybody's like, wow, let me go out and buy a car. I'm going to buy a Cadillac so I can make triple the money working for Uber. And then Uber started popping out more cars. So then the cabbies, like, said, listen, this is the that's enough. When do we put a cap? And Uber's like, cap? There's no cap. What are you crazy? There's no cap. We're going to keep popping out cars right and left. So now they keep popping out cars like gumdrops. You can't even move. And Uber really only makes money at night. So the day drivers in the yellow cab have died and gone to heaven. I've talked to a few of them. And, of course, when they don't make money, they cry like a stuck pig. But when they do make money, they say nothing. This is the yellow cab mentality, which I've learned and you probably know all about.
Mm-hmm.
But now the day drivers are getting – the day shift out is going out because Uber doesn't work in the day. But the night shift, like me, sees these guys like an onslaught of a locust plague coming into our fair city right around 4 or 5 o'clock when we need it the least. So what they should have done to help the drivers and help the city was to cap the number of Uber cars – just like they did with the yellow cab 80 years ago, because it works. But now they have this mosh pit of Uber cars with nobody making money. And what they could have done is had a cap number of Uber cars where the drivers would have gotten equity. And I had this really I should tell you, the coup, too, she was really hot, like an activist in the camp. She was talking to me from Kennedy going to Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
She's like a professional activist. She joins organizations. She's an activist. She's
who is
very
this?
Well spoken.
Who is this?
I don't know. Just a lady. It was a lady in the camp. I gave her a card. I wish I could get her a lot more on that. That's another story. But she was going from Kennedy to Brooklyn.
Right.
And she said that that's what some of the groups are looking at now, giving their drivers some kind of sweat equity in their companies. But Uber is not giving their drivers any sort of sweat equity. They're just giving them, they're building up their car service with extra cars on the road. And in fact, according to TLC, Night Mike and Abe, the Uber calls have gone down 8%, while simultaneously the amount of Uber vehicles on the road has gone up 15% in the last year. Mm-hmm. So all this mumbo jumbo for nothing, so that their drivers can make 23% less in the course of the last year,
right,
which is probably happening now, because they have all these other app companies out there, mm-hmm, and Uber is going down the tuber, if you ask me.
Uh-huh. How's the yellow cabs doing?
Here's the thing. You know, we got the court case up here.
Yeah.
And guys give us, and I mean us by you and me, because we're trying to help. We're trying to say when it's good and when it's bad. But uh-huh, every time I make a broach of saying, like, you know, it's busy out here. It's like, oh, no, court case. Listen, we got to tell the people, it's busy when it's busy. It's October, it's November, it's December. If it's not busy now, then we're out of business.
Right.
So right now it's busy. It's very busy for the day drivers. And the fleets have told me they're getting all their cars out. And the guys who aren't getting their cars out in the day shift now are just screw-ups,
yeah,
in my opinion, because everything's going out.
Okay.
But the night shift is still soft because it's being attacked by Uber every waking turn. And apparently these guys not only drive for Uber at night because they get the surge pricing out of desperate people who want their Uber car, but they also drive at night because their friends give them the phone to drive the Uber car illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no real protection for the passenger to see if this driver is actually a driver, but at night you can sneak around a lot more than in the daytime. So they give their friend, who is not a licensed driver and might not even have any Uber credentials, the phone, because that's all you need in the Uber car, so they can sneak around at night easier, illegally, and take Uber calls. Because mm-hmm, when you drive a yellow cab, the cab driver has his hack license, and he has to punch in his number
right
into that specific cab, right there.
They may be doing these calls in other vehicles other than TLC-approved vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, also you have some guys coming in. I've seen Pennsylvania plates, New Jersey plates, just regular New York State plates, where there's not even a taxi and limousine commission plate on the car, and there's no numbers on the damn Uber car either. So you don't even know where you can rat the guy out if you think he's stealing. I mean, this is the problem.
Right.
And we're going to take care of it, you and me.
Well, you know, go to the NYC Taxi News, and there are ways. Look on the front page, and it says stop illegal street hails, and there are instructions on what to do and who to report it to. Okay,
mm-hmm,
you know, the MTBOT is doing has a movement to really deal with this, and they want people to report it to them. Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you finish reading the court thing? You were up to the second paragraph. Second, with respect to the equal protections analysis in Illinois transportation, the Seventh Circuit found only that in Chicago there are enough differences between licensed taxi cabs and transportation network providers, TNPs, to support differing regulations. Okay, New York City, however, presents a very different regulatory structure, one in which all participants in the market are ostensibly regulated as for-hire transportation providers. You want to pick it up? Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. You want to read it together? We can.
No, no, no.
You want to read it together?
No. You read it. You're good at reading.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Tellingly, the defendant in Illinois transportation. Can I read it like a lawyer?
Anyway, you read it like a lawyer. Just read it.
Okay. Tellingly, the defendant in Illinois transportation, the city of Chicago, has consistently, albeit fictitiously, claimed that taxicabs and TNPs, such as Uber, provide fundamentally different services and operate on entirely different business models, thereby justifying Chicago's desperate treatment. Here, however, defendants have disavowed any such supposed rationale for disparate treatment by repeatedly admitting that these businesses are, in fact, identical in all material respects in New York City. Defendant Mayor Joshi, she's the chairperson of TLC, you know that, right? Defendant Mayor Joshi made this point as clear as it could possibly be made on August 2nd, 2016. And we state,
I also want to start clarifying from the TLC's perspective, there is not a distinction between taxi and rideshare. She actually said this. All of this is a service where you pay a driver to take you from one place to another. And you can do it by smartphone. You can do it by sticking your hand in the air. You can do it by calling a traditional base. But the risks and the responsibilities and the benefits are identical. So we look at this as one service and regulate it accordingly. That means we regulate it consistently. Whether you're an Uber driver or an Uber vehicle or a taxi vehicle, you're going to come under our regulatory scheme. So we don't see a distinction between rideshare and taxi. And actually, rideshare is not really in our vocabulary. They're all for hire vehicles. They're vehicles that you pay someone to take you from one place to another, which definitely proves, okay, now I'm speaking, definitely proves that what she said last week, you know, about, you know, they're regulating different segments of the industry, that one segment is basically copying the segment that they're not supposed to copy.
Right. Well, that's why she made this big pronouncement that we're going to have all drivers being treated the same, because, no, you shouldn't treat all drivers the same, because some drivers know how to cruise for fares on the streets of Manhattan, and some drivers know how to sit in front of a building waiting for a prearranged call, and it's a trade being able to drive a yellow cab.
Right.
So, we're basically arguing with a chairperson and a mayor who probably have about a year left, in my opinion. And it's a big problem because we're going through all this rigmarole with a couple of folks who are probably aren't going to be there in about a year.
Well,
and the taxi business is going to be there for another 50 years.
Mike, regardless of how long they have left, okay, it's not necessarily who's enforcing or not enforcing the rules and regulations. It's just that whoever is there is going to enforce it one way or the other. Okay, now if we get elected, people that side with us, they'll make the change. Okay. All right. If those that who are reelected or elected don't side with us, they'll continue to do this. Okay. And we know that Uber is fighting very hard with their lobbyists. Okay. To see to it that their people get elected. Okay. They criticize the taxi industry for supporting Mayor de Blasio with the $250,000 worth of donations to his campaign. Well, you know, it's not known how many millions Uber has donated to get their way. Okay.
Can you imagine?
All right.
Can you imagine?
You know, they can't tell us that they didn't give one dime. All right. Just because it's not on record. I mean, were we born yesterday? You know, I mean, come on, you know, I mean, as the saying goes, we weren't born yesterday. Okay.
I remember when they were talking about the taxi medallion owners, like in a $15 billion yellow cab business, who were catching hell from the press because all the taxi kings have donated $300,000
to various
campaigns.
Yeah.
The
entrenched. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're entrenched.
Yeah,
like we're fighting, like we have guards around our fort. Okay.
Well, that's the problem. We don't. We have our fences are down, and we have people basically trying to get. We have a few people, not all of them, but a few people are trying to find excuses to get a delay on paying the city of New York and the state their surcharge money, which they've collected for MTA and 30 cents. So these are the economic geniuses we have calling some of the shots in the taxi business.
Well,
so we have some people who run right, some people who are just
Talking about the taxi king, you know, he's not us. You know, he's just what they don't say is that the New York City medallion taxi business is not owned by one entrenched fortified organization. Okay, I don't know how else to express it, right? It's owned by many, many, many individual players, okay?
Right.
That are licensed by the city, Okay.
Hundreds, if not
right.
thousands.
Now, I believe more than 50% of the yellow taxis are owned by people like me and others who only have one medallion.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then there are some the taxi king, as they call him, who own a few medallions. I think he owns a couple of hundred. He also operates a couple of hundred, and he didn't treat his drivers correctly, okay? You know, word of mouth, I should say. Okay, I'm not even saying his name. I'm just calling the taxi king. All right, okay, because I don't want to, you know, mention names. But one name I'll mention is our friend Ron, who owns a bunch of medallions, many. I don't know how many, you know, a couple of hundred. That's been in his family for years, and he does treat his drivers correctly. And you never see him come up in the news as being a bad guy, so to speak.
Right.
Okay, because he's really a good guy. All right.
And he also invented a nice little credit card system that helped the industry.
That's right.
Even though the industry was dragged kicking and screaming, trying to get it installed at first. And now it does help because you get big rides from the credit card machine. You know, and Ron was right on the front lines of inventing that crazy thing. And
right.
what else for
right.
in so, the beginning also.
So it would only be fair to mention, you know, to not just bring up the Taxi King in the New York Post or in the Village Voice or wherever it may show up. Okay, it would be also fair to talk about all the other people that own medallions that have been playing the game correctly and treating their drivers accordingly well. Okay,
right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let me finish this. Defendants cannot avoid their own admissions by continuing to argue otherwise before this court. Okay, particularly at the pleading stage, where it is plaintiff's well-pled allegations that are entitled to the presumption of truth in the first place. Indeed, plaintiffs sufficiently allege that medallion taxicabs and FHVs are similarly situated for purposes of the Equal Protection Clause, and they have properly alleged that defendants lack of a rational basis for the disparate treatment. Okay?
Right.
Did I read that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
all right.
That was excellent. I mean, right now you're dealing with a city hall and a taxi commission, which has just appointed a guy from running a zoo in Staten Island to being on the board of taxi commissioners. So this is where you're trying to get the logic. You know what I mean? So I mean, that doesn't bode well for just things in general.
Okay, there's one more paragraph, okay, and I want to read it. Okay, finally, defendant's letter failed to note that while the Seventh Circuit favorably referenced the ruling in Boston Taxi Owners Association Incorporated versus City of Boston, March 31st, 2016, with respect to its analysis of a takings claim brought by the taxi cab companies in Boston, it did not criticize or otherwise take issue with Judge Gordon's holding in Boston Taxi Owners that the plaintiffs sufficiently stated a claim for violations of the Equal Protection Clause. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The city may not treat the two groups unequally and then argue that the treatment of the unequal treatment render the two groups Mike, read for me, please.
Break it into syllables, Abe.
This is why I didn't become a lawyer,
keep
right?
Going.
Disimerally, is that what it says?
Right.
Situated and consequently not subject to equal protection analysis. Such circular logic is unavailing. The fact that taxicabs also may initiate rides through street hails and accept other forms of payment does not necessarily mean they are dissimilarly situated to TNC's...
Dissimilarly.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
They are dissimilarly situated to the TNC's for the purpose of equal protection analysis. Indeed, Your Honor has also previously considered Judge Gordon's ruling in Boston Taxi Owners, finding it to be a well-reasoned opinion.
Right.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
What it comes down to,
basically, is I'm so disgusted with the courts these days because you have to look at who has been appointed by whom and for how long. Because it used to be you go in front of a court and the judge would say, that's good, that's bad, or whatever. But now there's all these little invisible hand things going on with judges and courts. So you have to keep chopping wood to get to where you want to go as far as a court case is concerned. Like, for example, I've talked to one very high-profile lawyer that has had success suing the TLC on a few fronts. And he says, the first thing you got to do is get it out of the city. Boom. And then if the city doesn't work, you got to get it out of the state. So this one person's opinion was that you're wasting your time suing the TLC in New York City because they got everything sewn up as far as the legal mumbo-jumbo was concerned. And I hope that's not the case, but apparently sometimes it's a head-scratcher. Mm. And this is one of the reasons that people are looking in other sources of political leadership, especially in this presidential election, where people are just sick of the whole system.
Yeah.
But as far as it's our little part of the world here, the fact remains, we were sold a bill of goods, and even the cabbie, just the guy on the front lines or gal on the front lines who was driving a yellow cab or driving one of those green cars, were given written assurances by the New York City Department of Law and the city charter and the city council and the mayor and blah, 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 that we were going to have exclusive rights for street hail. If a guy walks up to a car and gets in a car off the street, that's a street hail. And if he uses the phone versus putting his hand in the air, whatever.
It's still a street hail.
Right. Now, okay, there should be some acknowledgement of waiting time grace. I mean, they should say, well, if a guy's in a building and comes out 5 minutes later, that's a prearranged call. If a guy's standing next to the car and gets in, that's a street hail. And because he's on the street and he's hailing, and he looks at the driver and he shows him his hand, it's a street hail. This is all mumbo-jumbo. This is semantics.
Well, Mike, let me just jump in here. Number one, I want to say, if anybody wants to read these documents, just go to nyctaxinews.com. And right there on the front page, scroll down to where you see the news stories, and it's the first one up there. You can click on it and read it, okay? It's a PDF file, okay? But speaking of what you're just saying, here's a headline for you. United Kingdom judges tell Uber it's kidding itself that it's not a taxi service. Okay.
Right.
In other words, in London, they have ruled that Uber is a taxi service, and not only that, they have ruled that their drivers are employees.
Oh, now the fun begins. But this is in the UK.
Yeah.
So, and most of our laws were taken from Charlemagne and the UK and all this old stuff. So I'm wondering why there's been such a disparity in the way basic common law is applied in New York City. And I'll tell you, right now we have to start figuring these things out and start getting a better read on who's running these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something else. What Chairman Joshi or Chairperson Joshi should do and the rest of the TLC is, out of a sign of good faith, first of all, I think they should all take a drug test Monday morning, but that's another story. but it might explain a lot. But
at least take a sobriety test.
Take a sobriety test and a drug test at Monday morning. Just a sign of good faith. Say, okay, everybody at the TLC, you got to go down to the bathroom, pee in a cup. no big deal. All right. And the second thing they should do, right after they wash their hands, of course, is sign a agreement that they will not work for any of the TNC providers, Uber, Lyft, et al., for a period of 3 years after they quit the taxi commission. Because right now we've had a couple of people who have made weird decisions at TLC. Then all of a sudden the next week they're working at one of the TNC companies like Uber, like a week later making, with a $50,000 raise. Also, we want to wish everybody a happy Halloween, and we want to wish everybody in Cleveland congratulations, because they're right on the cusp of winning the World Series.
But it ain't over yet.
It should be, because the Cubs look like they're – I don't think the Cubs can win a game like that at home, because there's so much pressure with this crowd that hasn't won anything for
years. Well, they better win tonight, okay?
They got to win one game.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Cleveland might throw the game just because they want to take it home to Cleveland.
It could be. I wonder how that would be.
They might sacrifice a game because they haven't won a World Series in 48 years. No, I'm sorry, since 1948. Yeah. Okay, which is the year, which is 68 years ago, right? And but the Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1908, which is 108 years ago, right?
Good God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
amazing?
Well, the Yankees have won like 35 World Series, right? But not lately.
Yeah.
Not lately.
Not lately. Well, the Yankees in the Yankees in the 50s were ridiculous. I think they won what 12 to 14 World Series in the 50s.
Oh yeah, they did pretty good in the 50s.
They did okay, yeah.
Now,
the other thing I want to say, and as far as Chicago, they did win a baseball World Series with the Chicago White Sox recently. And I remember back in the days when Michael Jordan was playing for the Chicago Bulls, they won 6 World Championships. So, wah, for Chicago sports.
Uh-huh.
Because they're winning something. And then they got the Blackhawks won a couple of championships with the hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the Cubs, the Cubs are going to be the Cubs. But the Cubs had a great year, and if they win tonight, I think that would be good for baseball. But I think Cleveland has outstanding pitching, and Cleveland knows exactly what they're doing right now. And the Cubs might be a little tight. And then the Cubs aren't going to win anything at home. So if they get tonight, they might even win in Cleveland because the pressure will be off. Because that vibe in Chicago with the baseball, you could just feel it in the air of tension of, oh, my God, we're not going to win, like total negative energy versus the Yankee game. Back in the days, you go to Yankee game and say, we got this. We got this, no problem.
Okay. So, all right. So it sounds like the taxi part of the show is over for today, right?
We try and branch occasionally into other areas.
Yeah.
Well, now let's talk about Halloween.
Halloween?
All right.
Halloween?
Yes.
Oh, my memories of Halloween is getting hit in the eye with an egg on Houston and one of those blocks in there, Elizabeth Street somewhere, maybe, you know. I got hit in the eye with an egg. Okay, not only did I get hit in the eye with an egg, three more eggs busted on my windshield. Okay, while driving one night. And that was at least 20 years ago, and I never drove Halloween since. Okay, that was the end of me working on Halloween. Okay?
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now what Halloween stories do you have?
I have some similar Halloween stories. I mean, when people would throw eggs in the cab, I asked one guy, should I get this? He goes, no, just keep driving. So I remember one Halloween night I drove. It must have been like the year of the egg or something, because I saw a lot of cabs, and God bless them, like caked with eggs, just like caked. I mean, we're talking about like modern art look for the cab. And they kept driving. I said, well, aren't you going to get the car wash? They said, what am I going to get the car wash for? They're just going to hit it again. So I remember one car, easily, maybe there was like 5 square feet of metal that you could see past the egg on the car. Because they just kept slamming them. The guy would wash the windows. I mean, he doodlessly like wash up the windows so he could see, but the rest of the car looked like something out of a Andy Warhol cartoon or something.
Well,
and I really don't like working on Halloween. I mean, my weekend guy, he's great. He has the car right now,
mm-hmm.
and he's happily tooling away. He loves Halloween. He goes, "You going to work tomorrow?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I really don't like working Halloween." He goes, "I'll drive." So he's now going from keeping the car for 48 hours. He's going to keep it for like 72 hours with his Halloween-a-thon that he's in the middle of. So be my guest. And I'll take the car for the rest of the week.
Well, you better have the car wash ready for Tuesday morning. Okay,
yeah, I
tell you right
slip.
Now, I tell you this, when those eggs busted on my windshield, they fried. Because it was a cold night and the heat was going full blast on the windshield, right?
Yeah.
And when the eggs hit the windshield, we had fried scrambled eggs.
Too bad you couldn't find somebody throwing toast in the orange juice and bacon.
Yeah.
You could
have
like a little snack.
Well, luckily, at that time, there was a car wash right across the street on Houston and Crosby, okay, which isn't there anymore, okay?
That was great. Cars are popping. It was a big old Cars
are popping. Right. And I went right into the car wash, okay? So it wasn't a great experience, all right? And then they have that Halloween parade, I think, in the village, right?
Right.
Okay, not a great experience, especially if you get caught behind it.
Are you talking about if you're driving in the middle of the Halloween?
Right.
Oh, forget it.
Right.
No, you're really kidding me.
Right. And
there are some good parts of Halloween. Now, like, for example, the the girls running around in the naughty nurse outfits and the French maid outfits. That never gets old, my friend, because you have some girls who just get their freak on for Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and freak they do. And the eye candy is out in force.
Yeah.
Well, some of the guys also dress up as naughty nurses and French maids, so I'm not too thrilled about that. The girls dressing up as naughty nurses and French maids.
I wonder if these millennials have a Halloween app.
They probably do, and they're probably going to I'm sure Trump and Hillary are going to be in full force on Halloween.
Yeah.
On the parade, like that. So, well, we shall see.
Yeah. Well, the good news is the Trump and Hillary thing will finally come to an end in another 8 or 9 days, right?
Yay! Thank God.
Okay, and
thank
I can stop watching these obnoxious ads about how horrible this one is and how horrible the other one is. Okay, because basically we're going to get somebody horrible in the White House if they're all correct.
It looks that way. Yeah. Well, I think what's happening now is, they both started out with an ironclad 40%. Like each party, Trump and Hillary had 40% in their pocket. So right now they're and then you let's say you have 5% of the fringe candidates. So you had Gary Johnson and some lady from wherever. So that's like 5 or 6%. So what they've been battling over for the last almost a year has been the majority of 14% undecided voters,
mm-hmm.
which means all this hullabaloo is for them to try and get to try and scrape 7% of the votes on their side from the undecided.
Well,
so we've been going through this whole thing. And I got news. I got people in the cab coming in from Kennedy Airport.
Yeah.
The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, from Sweden, from the UK.
Everyone
from,
is watching.
Italy.
Everyone is watching. Yeah. The world is watching.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The whole world is watching.
You know, we're living in a world where news travels around the world at the speed of light.
Right. Oh, let me ask you that. The other thing is, I don't know what your situation is with this, but the state of New York, and it's along party lines between Republican and Democrat,
mm-hmm.
apparently.
Right.
You get people who are like saying Uber is wonderful, which I don't think it is, because Uber has a lot of problems, and
right.
they're losing their
what's your question,
customers. The question with Airbnb. I mean, I was getting a lot of taxi rides going into the city and going into Brooklyn, especially Brooklyn and Manhattan parts of it. We were coming here specifically to visit New York and spend thousands of dollars because they had a Airbnb deal with someone where they're renting out a room or an apartment or a room in a house or a room in an apartment. And all of a sudden the state of New York came out with this this edict, like anybody who advertises for Airbnb is going to get fined and you can't do it. And I was like, wait a second, somebody owns their apartment. I want to rent out a room.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you rent out your room in an apartment or a house that you
well,
own?
Well, Mike, you know, you can, in a way, equate this to the Uber thing. Suddenly it was disrupting hotels, such as Uber disrupted the taxis. Okay. Let me just say this. All right. Uber, they're similar in the fact that Uber was coming in and illegally stealing business from the taxis, and Airbnb is coming in and illegally stealing business from hotels. Okay.
Right.
Now, allegedly, okay. Now, if Airbnb is in fact creating a new market of people people that can't afford to spend $200-$400 a night to stay in a hotel, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you have to look at that and say, well, it's good. Well, now these people who couldn't come to New York as tourists can now come to New York. Okay.
That's what's happening.
All right.
A lot of people are getting.
Okay. So what's wrong with it? And I say, really nothing, okay?
Yeah, right.
If that's the case, all right? They're not stealing people that are going to hotels. Are the hotels losing business because of Airbnb? Do you know that, Mike?
I think, well, there were you know, I mean, they're probably on party line. They're like in the party line of this is cutting into our business. And some guy said, I talked to a doorman. He said, yes, it is starting to affect us a little bit. His words, a doorman said it is starting to affect us a little bit. So I think that the hotels who probably have billions of dollars in legal funds all set to go for a situation like this, they got proactive and say, listen, this is a little ripple. We don't want to become a tidal wave. So let's get on it right away. Unlike our guys who are trying to figure out
well,
ways.
Well, you know, most business people stay in hotels. Okay?
Right.
They come to
right.
New York
right.
and they stay in hotels. All right?
No, that's true.
Yeah,
well, the business people are still going to the hotels.
Yeah, right. The business people aren't going to be looking for a room in Mike's apartment. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? To stay in because it's too expensive to stay in a hotel. Okay?
Correct.
All right? Now, so, you know, so there are pros and cons to it, okay? Whereas if Uber was creating a new market and only operating under the rules of FHVs, which is pre-arrangement, then no
right.
yellow taxi would complain about it. Okay?
Correct.
All right? But Uber is not doing that. They're mm-hmm. they're imitating yellow taxis, as we discussed earlier in the show. Okay?
That's correct.
All right. Yeah. So that's my take on it all. Okay? You know, mm-hmm. Uber isn't creating any new market. They're just stealing from the market that's out there.
In your opinion.
In my opinion, okay?
In your
all right?
opinion. Yeah,
well, the numbers show it. The numbers show it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Well, that's the one thing that I really get upset about. I think I'm going to have to, either you or me, or we're going to have to start being more proactive with getting into, like, saying our side. Because we have the Mike and Abe show, but we have to... Me especially have to go to these meetings and start talking because the one thing that got me upset with TLC, equating cab drivers with one license, it's like, listen, it's not one license. It's a different gig. It's yellow cabs driving for street hails. It is a trade that you do. It's not one license from a guy who historically is getting radio calls and sitting waiting for radio calls versus a cab driver who goes up and down Broadway at 4 in the morning looking for a street hail and doing it that way. It's a skill that has to be acquired over years. You can't just all of a sudden flip a switch and some guy who spent years waiting for calls all of a sudden is going to get street hail work. And I think there's just an ignorance on the taxi commission because none of them really has ever driven a cab for a living running a show up there. And I think we have to start looking at that. And the other thing is we have to have some representation up there. You have to have your passing laws for cab drivers, you got to get some cab drivers in the mix. You got to find out from the source what's good and bad.
Look,
now it's a mess.
Look, all of these people on the taxi commission have gone to college, I think.
Right.
Okay, and gotten degrees in law or whatever. And while they were in college, you know, a lot of college people, at least it used to be, I don't know about in today's world, did drive taxis, you know, as like what's his name? The city councilman Rodriguez, right?
Yeah.
He drove a livery cab. Okay, so I respect the fact that he has some knowledge from the business on the inside. Okay.
But he never drove a yellow cab.
Never drove a yellow cab. Okay. But these people that are in charge of the taxi commission really should have some experience driving a taxi. Okay.
Mandatory.
Okay. Right. You know, look, there are a lot of great people on the taxi commission, you know, ex-taxi drivers that are well qualified to serve on that commission. Okay. Our friend Taxi Dave could easily be on that commission. Okay.
I would vote for him. I vote for him twice.
Okay. Maybe Nat Goldbetter also. Okay. Nat
Goldbetter, but yeah.
Nat, you're listening. I want to say hi. Okay.
Right.
Okay. And
we're very fair people. I mean, we try.
I know. You know, the purpose of the taxi commission is to be fair to both the public and the taxi industry.
No, the purpose of the taxi commission is 1,000 light years away from that. The purpose of the taxi commission.
I know, but that's the purpose.
To be a pirate ship for the state of New York.
I know, but that's their purpose, you know, supposedly. Okay.
Right.
And right. You know, there's nobody better than people that have been in the taxi business, you know, that can do that job to be fair to both. Okay?
Right.
Now, I'm not saying you should hire the guy that has for 49 summonses for ripping off passengers. Okay, but you should at least look at the good people that have driven a taxi and have at least two of the commissioners be ex taxi owners, ex taxi drivers or something. Okay, that's just my take. I've been saying that for years. Okay, I would serve on the commission, but I'm not available. Sorry. Okay, but there was a time I was available where I would have been glad to do it. Okay.
Well, now this guy who apparently is getting appointed commissioner, does his term end when the Blasio's term end, or is he?
No, he
did
said
the
in the article that let me see if I can find it here. I had it here. It said in the article that blah 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 blah. He has I can't find it, but he has some time to go, a number of years before he's taking over for somebody whose term continues.
Well, I mean, you have a good point, because, and I'll tell you could even ask the passengers. They have these crazy little surveys in the back of cabs that the parents have let the kids do the surveys, so you're not even really getting a lot of adults responding to the surveys in the back of cabs. And little kids fiddling around with machine because they want to play with stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I'd just like to say that you could put that on the survey, said, should a chairperson or should a taxi commissioner have actual hands-on cab driving experience? Yes or no? Ask the public who pays the bills if a person working as a higher-up in the taxi commission should have experience driving a cab, yes or no? I would think that 99.9% of the response would be yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then why isn't that the case?
Well, I'll tell you this: they wouldn't hire an ex pyromaniac to be the fire commissioner. All right, they wouldn't hire they wouldn't hire a guy out of jail to be the police commissioner. All right.
Not yet.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see who wins the presidency before we.
Okay. All right. Look, Mike. We're running into overtime here. Okay.
Oh, we are. We're in overtime.
Oh, we're in overtime. We're way above our limits. Okay. We know that most of these cabbies out there have attention deficit disorder, so we don't want to give them too much to absorb. Okay.
Oh. Okay. Well, this is a lot to absorb, but just listen to it because you'll learn something.
Yeah.
You can listen to this happily on your MP player and drive while you're listening to our show.
Okay. And Mike, you're gonna be on the Taxi Dave show tonight.
Apparently, that's the hot rumor that I'm gonna be on the Taxi Dave show tonight at 7:10 a.m. on 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So we'll also have that on the website. No comments.
All right, then tell Taxi Dave to let you talk this time. Okay.
Will do. I'll run it by the board of directors.
Okay. So I'm gonna say goodbye to everybody.
And I'll say goodbye too.
Okay.
And happy Halloween, and be careful, and don't throw eggs.
Okay, we'll see you.
And don't throw eggs at the cabbies, please.